This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
I think, okay, it says, it's a question about, I think it's the male fashion question. It says, are fade haircuts allowed, and is wearing chain necklaces and rings haram for men?
وَمَا أَرْسَلْنَا مِن قَبْلِكَ إِلَّا رِجَالًا نُوحِي إِلَيْهِمْ فَاسْأَلُوا أَهْلَ الذِّكْرِ إِن كُنتُمْ لَا تَعْلَمُونَ.
Okay, Amma, we need to have a talk now. This is going too far. Every single question. Okay. Oh, gold necklaces. What is going through you, Ya Ammar? Okay. Chain necklaces. Oh, not gold. Okay. Still. Ouch, subhanAllah. Ya Ammar, I don't want you to wear necklaces. That having been said, because see, here's the point. Every family has the right to negotiate, right? Every single family has the right to discuss this and have its own rules. I don't want my sons wearing necklaces. From a purely fiqhi perspective, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam did not allow men to act effeminately or dress effeminately, nor did he allow women to act or dress masculine. This is an authentic hadith. And in fact, he invoked the curse of Allah on such people. Now, that's the generic ruling. The nitty-gritty is where the controversy occurs. Who gets to define what is effeminate and what is masculine, right? That's the fiqhi perspective. Who gets to define, you know, that which is effeminate, that which is masculine? And the response is, it is culture, unless the Sharia defines it. For example, the Sharia has defined two things as being effeminate for sure, right? What are they? Number one, silk. And number two, gold. The Prophet ﷺ picked up silk and gold, and he said, these two are for the women of my ummah, and they're not for the men of my ummah. So the Sharia has defined, end of story, okay? Any gold chain or gold ring or gold necklace or anything that is pure gold, obviously we're talking about, is not allowed for men to wear. Anything that is made out of silk or majority silk, I have a whole fatwa about ties, you can listen to that. I'm talking about a silk shirt, ties or halal. Silk shirt or a silk jacket or a silk pant or even a silk pajama, doesn't matter if you're alone, doesn't matter. If you're alone, you don't wear gold. So the Sharia has made that effeminate. Okay, what if the Sharia hasn't made it effeminate, but the culture has made it effeminate? In this case, we follow the culture, because one of the principles of fiqh is that where the Sharia is silent, culture will play a role. This is one of the maxims of fiqh. It's called qawa'id fiqhiyya. One of the principles of the maxims of fiqh says, al-urfu muhakkam, that which is the culture is going to play a role where the Sharia is silent. So, the simple example, I'll give you many examples. Okay, I'll give you many examples. A simple example, Allah says to be kind to your parents, and Allah says don't be rude to your parents. Okay, in one culture, when I was growing up, it was rude to sit with your feet facing your mother and father. In that culture, it would be haram to sit in a living room and you intentionally put your feet towards your mother and father, because Allah has made it haram to be rude, and the culture says if you sit with your feet that way, it is rude. Okay, that notion is by and large not known in the West. So if a convert or if a person of this culture, you know, who's embraced Islam, were to then do that, we will say that's not haram for them, not at all, because it's not something that they know to be rude. So there is an element of culture manifesting what the Sharia has come as a generic rule. What is the generic rule? Men should act like men and women should act like women. Okay, therefore, certain things are very clear, okay? For example, wearing skirts. Generally speaking, to this day, no respectable. You can always point to that one exception that proves the rule. How do you know the rule? The rule is respectable members of society. The rule is people that are considered to be the paragons of virtue. People that the culture looks up to as being basically embodiments of, you know, who they represent. You will not find a person of repute who is male, you know, dressing in a skirt or in a blouse. It doesn't happen, and vice versa as well, that there are certain things that are considered to be masculine. Now, the problem comes, the question that you're asking, Ammar, the problem comes that there are always transitional phases, and there are things that in one era are clearly not feminine, in another era they become feminine. In one era are not masculine, in another era they become masculine, and there's this interim in the middle. And the classic example for this, for example, is earrings. Okay, earrings. That when I was growing up, I remember, believe it or not, the 70s, I'm actually that old, I remember the 70s, I grew up in the 80s, and I came to age in the 90s, right? When I was growing up, men did not wear earrings at all. It was just not done. It began in the late 80s amongst the rap culture, okay? And people that obviously in the entertainment industry. So they started doing this slowly but surely. It spread to other people as well. But still, generally speaking, you don't find, let's say, a mainstream politician, okay? Or generally speaking, a reputable CEO of a S&P 500 company. Generally, of course, you find the odd exception, but generally speaking, there's something that is considered to be dignified. For example, tattoos on the face, although tattoos are haram, I'm just giving an example. It's not considered to be dignified even for the culture that we live in. Even if they do a tattoo for the culture they live in, they do it on their arms and legs that is hidden, for example. By the way, tattoos, of course, we don't consider them to be permissible in the first place. My point is cultural notions here. So if somebody were to say, but these days to wear a certain type of earring is considered masculine in some subcultures, they might have a point. I'm not even saying that. They might have a point, which is why it's a gray area, and which is why as well that we as Muslims should strive to maintain a dignified presence. We don't imitate people whose subcultures don't exude dignity. And generally speaking, the types of people who are dressing in these types of manners, their lifestyle in terms of drugs, in terms of alcohol, in terms of gender relations, in terms of what they're promoting, is not something that is Islamic. So the Sharia does not want us to imitate people of ill repute. The Sharia does not want us to imitate people of the other gender. The Sharia has nobility, right? The Prophet ﷺ was a noble person. So what you're asking about is a gray area. I can see some people saying that wearing a generic necklace is now considered masculine. I can see that, which is why I am not saying it is haram. I can see some people making that argument. That argument would not have been made 30, 40 years ago, by the way. It would not have been made. Maybe in another 30, 40 years, it would be the norm. In some cultures in Africa, men do wear necklaces, and women wear necklaces. By the way, even in those cultures, by the way, the necklaces that men wear are markedly different. You can tell, you can look at them and recognize this is a man's necklace. And another one would be a woman's necklace. So even they have differences between the two. In that culture, if one of them were to embrace Islam, we're not going to tell him Islam requires you to get rid of your masculine necklace. Because in his culture, that necklace is masculine. Okay? But in the culture that we're currently living in, which is North American culture, it's an ongoing process. There's an organic change taking place. And Allah knows, maybe in 30 years, 40 years, less or more, all men will be wearing a certain type of necklace, right? When that happens, at that stage, clearly it would not be sinful or even makruh for a man to wear that type of necklace, because that's the norm. However, as we speak, and the year is 2020, it is not the norm. Nor is it something that, generally speaking, people of repute do. Also, the fact that you are my son and I have some privilege over you has a role to play as well. And I don't want my children to go down this path. And therefore, again, and I'm very frank here, not everything that I'm not going to allow for my children, I'm going to say is haram. I'm going to be very clear here. You know, my son knows this, that, you know, I have certain standards and I'm not enforcing it on anybody else. So me personally, I do not want my children or my sons, because you're asking about a man doing this, to do this. But to use the word haram is not something I'm going to do. I'm going to say the least that can be said is that you're opening up a door that is better to be shut at this stage. And I would not want men to start wearing jewelry that is still somewhat effeminate, even though I understand that it is now the norm in some subcultures. Not all, because again, it's not the default. I mean, the example is a watch, right? Every man wears a watch. Nobody considers it to be effeminate. Believe it or not, 100 years ago, it was considered to be effeminate. 100 years ago, men had watches you'd pulled out of your pocket. The pocket watch was the masculine one, okay? And it was not considered to be, you know, only, by the way, this is history, I'm teaching you this. This became fashionable to wear only after World War I pilots, believe it or not, okay? After World War I pilots started wearing wristwatches, and of course pilots are always pilots, right? So there's always this aura and this romanticism given to them. So then men started wearing wristwatches. Otherwise, pre-World War I, no man, there was no such thing as a wristwatch for a man. It was considered to be a decorative piece that only women wore. Slowly but surely, more men begin to wear it. Until now, it is a part and parcel of our culture. And there are men's wristwatches, and you know, I have some wristwatches, you have some wristwatches, we all do, right? And there are women's wristwatches. As I said, we have to be clear here. The Sharia does not forbid an item. The Sharia forbids a concept. And the concept, men should act like men, and women should act like women. I hope that, inshallah, that answers the generic question, and me and Ammar, that answers the specific question as well, inshallah ta'ala.
روحا وريحانا بقولك كون